ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, from the 9th canto. Evang Shipan Dhanushi Sanditam Utsar Saja Parnang Savajam Evatadhridhayam Bibheda. So Srigvamandasha Mokhaya Niyapatad Vimanad Daheti Jalpati Jane Sukritiva Riktaha. Translation. After thus rebuking Ravana, Lord Ramachandra fixed an arrow to his bow, aimed at Ravana, and released the arrow, which pierced Ravana's heart like a thunderbolt. Upon seeing this, Ravana's followers raised a tumultuous sound, crying, "Alas, alas! What has happened? What has happened?" As Ravana, vomiting blood from his 10 mouths, fell from his airplane, just as a pious man falls to earth from the heavenly planets when the results of his pious activities are exhausted. Srila Prabhupada's purport to this verse is as follows. In Bhagavad Gita 9.21, it is said, Krine punye martya lokang vishanti. When the results of their pious activities are exhausted, those who have enjoyed in the heavenly planets fall again to earth. The fruitive activities of this material world are such that whether one acts piously or impiously, one must remain within the material world according to different conditions. For neither pious nor impious actions can relieve one from Maya's clutches of repeated birth and death. Somehow or other, Ravana was raised to an exalted position as the king of a great kingdom with all material opulences, but because of his sinful act of kidnapping Mother Sita, all the results of his pious activities were destroyed. If one offends an exalted personality, especially the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one certainly becomes most abominable. Bereft of the results of pious activities, one must fall down like Ravana and other demons. It is therefore advised that one transcend both pious and impious activities and remain in the state of pure freedom from all designations. Sarvopadhi vinir muktam tatparatvena nirmalam. When one is fixed in devotional service, he is above the material platform. On the material platform, there are higher and lower positions, but when one is above the material platform, he is always fixed in a spiritual position. Sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Ravana, or those like him, may be very powerful and opulent in this material world, but theirs is not a secure position, because after all, they are bound by the results of their karma. Karmana daiva nitrena. We should not forget that we are completely dependent on the laws of nature. Prakrite kriyamana ni gunai karmani sarvashaha. Ahankara vimud hat ma karta hamiti manyate. The bewildered spirit soul, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by nature. One should not be proud. One should not be proud of one's exalted position and act like Ravana, thinking oneself independent of material nature's laws. Jai Sri Rama. Why do we say that today? Should be tomorrow. Tomorrow we should say, well, I could speak on this tomorrow evening, but by that time, the whole day is gone, so better to speak the evening before. Then we can have it in mind. We can go to sleep dreaming of Ram killing Ravana. Tomorrow is the celebration of Ram killing Ravana. It's just like in India, there's a big celebration for Independence Day, right? The day we did it, we did it, we got our independence from Britain. We are fighting for it for so many years. Or in some countries, they may celebrate their victory over some other nation. So we're celebrating the victory over Lord Ram, over Ravana. Now, when I was thinking about this in preparation for speaking this evening, I was thinking, just like my parents were born in Britain before the Second World War. So they were both fairly young, teenagers during the Second World War. And my father said he was born in a small town near London. London came under heavy bombing from the Germans, so he was evacuated to the country. The children, and they're all evacuated to the country. But you can just imagine what it would be like during such a war, that you don't know whether you're going to win or lose. And the prospect is there that in the case of Britain, that the Nazis would sweep into Britain and take over, and every German would become the national language, and the British people would become oppressed by the Germans. It was a chilling prospect. And the fact that they won the war, up until my youth, there were still so many programs on the television about the war, comedies, and all kinds of things. And then it's very strong in the national consciousness. It'll fade out in due course of time, just like they had this. Cargill. They had that. There was some military action in Cargill, it's on the Pakistan-India border, and they said all this at the time. They said all this will be remembered forever, but now no one remembers it. It was a skirmish, not a full-fledged battle. So it was very strong in the minds of the Russian people, but now that's fading. I spoke about that, not this year, the time before that I was in Russia, how the older generation in Russia, they very strongly remember the German invasion of Russia. What happened was, I was talking during the class about how this nationalism, it's just some kind of designation, and that binds us in the material world. And then one woman there, I suppose she was a devotee, older woman, to feel proud that I'm Russian, it just binds us to this material world. I'm proud that I'm Russian. So one woman, she objected, and so I asked her how old she was, and so I asked her, so she was alive the Germans were in Russia. So I said, well, it's quite possible that in your previous life, you were a German soldier. And you died in Russia and you got born again in Russia. She thought, oh, really? That threw her out a bit because she so strongly identified with that. Anyway, we want to identify with who? Ram or Ravana? There are many people in South India who prefer to identify with Ravana. They became such rascals. Maybe the Supreme Court will make that a law, that it's all right to kidnap people's wives by force. You never know the way things are going. They may say that it's all right. The friends of Ravana in South India. And again, that's all done for political reasons. This whole atheistic movement in Tamil Nadu were started for political. It's very deep roots how it's promoted by Christians from outside India who want to weaken the whole fabric of it, and so on and so on and so on. So anyway, we want to be on Rama's side, right? Right. Yes, we don't want to be on Rama's side. We don't want to be on Ravana's side. But during the battle, there was no telling which way it was going to go. And at some point, both Ram and Lakshman seemed to be dead or finished. When Ravana was killed, that was it. Finished, right? It was all over. Theoretically, the soldiers could have gone on fighting. They could have appointed someone else as the chief commander-in-chief or made someone else the king. Although there weren't any really big figures left. But Ravana, he was so proud of his being such a great hero, but he sent everyone else out to fight. And when there was no one, he sent his sons and his brother and everyone else out to fight. And when there was no one less, when there were no major Rakshasa leaders left, then only he went out to fight. Of course, his reasoning was that, why should I bother with fighting against monkeys and humans? Humans, I eat them for breakfast. Why should I fight against them? It's just like sending someone there's some ants. Okay, well, call the Indian Army. His ants are causing a problem in your house. So call the Indian Army. Call the black cats. You know, ants. What are the ants? Come on, just get some pest control company or something. Of course, that's also sinful. But I'm just giving it as an example. Ravana thought it was below his dignity to fight with humans and monkeys. Fight with monkeys? Yeah, fight with monkeys. This Kumbhakarna is described while he was fighting, and there were so many thousands of monkeys all coming at him, and he'd just get a bunch of them in one hand, throw them in his mouth, and chomp them up as he was going on fighting. He was taking some snacks while he was fighting. So anyway, Ravana was finished, and the whole thing was finished. But at some point, it seemed that Ram and Lakshman were finished, and it seemed that everything was all over. Then that's it. Everything we sacrificed for, the monkeys that they came, everything, it's all over. And the demigods might have been considering like that also, because they sent Ram to fight. So it's a transcendental story, and that we can understand in as much as, even though we hear it again and again and again, again and again and again, what happens? Shrinu sukhadam shubhadam bhavasaram. By hearing again and again, we feel great happiness, and it creates a very auspicious atmosphere here in this world, which is just full of birth and death. So by hearing about Ram, we become free from birth and death, and we take spiritual pleasure. Now the Navaratri is going to come, and in North India, it's traditional during the nine nights, there'll be a continuous recitation of Ramcharitmanas, which is, they call that Ramayana in Hindi, the story of Lord Ram as the Goswami Tulsidas envisioned the pastimes of Lord Ram. Is there a Ramayana in Malayalam also? Yeah. In most languages, there's Ramayana and Srimad Bhagavatam or Mahabharata. In Telugu, you have, right, Bhagavatam and Ramayana in Telugu. In Oriya, in Bengali, in Hindi. I don't know Mahabharata or Bhagavatam. So like that. In Tamil also, they have the Kamba Ramayana. It's very famous. So that goes on recitation for nine nights. And I also had that experience in Bangladesh. It's quite common. In the winter, usually, it's cold at night. People sit outside wrapped up in chadors and just listen. If there's a good speaker, or any speaker, because in those days, there was no electricity in the villages, so someone would come and speak on Bhagavatam, and people would sit there all night and listen. Cold. During the winter, mostly. Yeah. that would go on. At least in my experience. So people like to hear. They like to hear the pastimes of Lord Ram. Now you may say, well, what is this? He's coming and he's fighting, and it's very difficult for people who are not raised in the Indian tradition to appreciate pastimes. Is the word Srila Prabhupada used for Leela. It's very difficult, because their idea of God sits on a cloud in heaven, and must be on a cloud because it's up there somewhere and you can't see him, so he's probably sitting on a cloud. It's a very primitive kind of anthropomorphic understanding of God. He sits on a cloud and you don't dare go anywhere near him, and he's always angry and throwing people into hell, and he doesn't come down on earth and become someone's son and then appear to be unhappy and then get cursed by someone and all these kind of things. So there's no concept of Leela, of God coming to us as if to our level and being one of us. That means they can't actually love God. You can't love. In Islam, there's the idea that God is not a person. He creates, he maintains, he destroys. I guess they have those functions. He speaks, at least to prophet, he speaks, but he's not a person. They're very much against the idea that God could be a person. And there's no love of God. You can't love, just like you can't have a loving relationship with a pen. I mean, you might like it. You may say, I like this pen. I like to write with it better than other pens. But you can't have an emotional relationship with a pen. You could have an emotional feeling towards something, just like there might be, for instance, a necklace. And you might have emotional feeling toward it because it's something handed down in the family. It's a family heirloom. But it's because of the symbolism. It's connected to persons who you feel very strongly for. It's not the metal in itself. If it gets lost and someone says, oh, never mind, we'll buy another one. But it can't be the same because it's not the exact one that's passed down in the family. So love means to love a person, but if a person is so high and mighty, then you can't love. You might feel fear, you might feel respect, but you can't feel love. And that's why God, despite being all-powerful, comes, and even to himself, and this is really high theology, even to himself feels as if I'm struggling to overcome Ravana. If Rama wanted, he doesn't even have to come. He doesn't even have to press a button with "Kill Ravana" written on it. He doesn't have to do anything. He doesn't have to send a drone. He just by his wish, dung, Ravana's finished. But then there's no fun. So this is very difficult for people not raised in the Indian culture to understand, and in Indian culture the bhakti is very prominent, no doubt. Mayavad is also prominent, but the two unfortunately get intertwined, especially here in Kerala. We have the Shankaracharya, his influence, although he left here when he was 8 years old, and just came back for his mother's funeral ceremonies. But his influence is it's very strong all over India, Shankaracharya. So that's there. And among the Hindus, the influence of Guru Vayur, Krishna, is there also. And here from Kerala, this is where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu found the manuscript of the Brahma Sanghita, which is not much known outside the Gauriyas. I don't think in Kerala people know that. And in the south, of course, there's Ananta Padmanabha Swami temple. So the Vaishnav culture is there. But it's all intertwined with this Mayavad, this idea that everything is one, and beyond Ram, beyond Krishna, there is some impersonal absolute. Although in Gita, Krishna clearly says, Brahmano hi pratishtaham. I am the basis of that, what you consider to be that impersonal Brahman. And avyaktim, avyaktam vyaktim apannam manyante mama buddhaya. People who don't have any intelligence, abuddhaya, or who have not proper intelligence, they think that me, the person, Krishna, vyakti means person, I have come from the unmanifest. Avyaktam vyaktim apannam manyante mam abuddhaya. Parambhavam ajananta mamavyam anuttamam. They don't know that Krishna is beyond. It's not that there's anything beyond Krishna, but Krishna is beyond everything else. And because Krishna comes as, apparently in some ways, in many ways, as an ordinary person, they make the mistake of thinking he is an ordinary person. So to really relish the pastimes of Krishna, of Rama, requires to understand his greatness. It's relishable to hear about him stealing butter, but then anyone else can steal butter. What makes it so special, Krishna stealing butter? Of course, not everyone can kill Ravana. But then it might be considered that, there are so many military heroes in the history of the world, and Ram is just one of them. Why make a big thing about him? The point is that he's so great, and still he comes to be among us. So that is his great love, that he wants to be on a level ordinary with us. And if he's so great in everything else, he's so great in Aishvaryasya, Samagrasya, Viryasya, Yashasya, Shriya, Jnana, Vairagya, Yoshchaiva, Shandang, Bhaga, Itingena. He's great, he's perfect and complete in all opulence, in all power, in all fame, in all beauty, in all knowledge and all renunciation. So he must be the greatest in love also. Whatever he does, he's the greatest in it. And again, that love is love that can be experienced even by a poor woman who doesn't have a lot of money. She can relish having her baby, holding her baby, the baby sucking the breast. She can feel satisfaction in that more than a big rich man with lots of power and influence feels from lording it over others. So that's simple, very simple exchange. And Krishna likes that. So he comes as if an ordinary person. And those who are devotees, they can appreciate. But to appreciate that, first we shall have to appreciate how great Krishna is. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matah sarvam pravartate iti madva bhajante maam buddha bhava samanvitaha. Krishna says, Aham sarvasya prabhavaha. Everything comes from me. Matah sarvam pravartate. He says it to, practically the first two, the two lines of this verse, they mean practically the same thing. He's just, you say something twice to emphasize it. And then, iti madva, understanding this, bhajantem, they worship me. Who worships Krishna? Those who are intelligent. And how do they worship him? With feeling, with love. So those who are great devotees like Mother Yashoda, they don't know about the greatness of Krishna, but they're just completely in love with Krishna. But if we try to jump to that platform without understanding the difference between Krishna's greatness and this is Krishna who's stealing butter, teasing the gopis and so on, then we'll equate that with the ordinary feelings of ordinary people. So that's why it's important to go through all the cantos of Bhagavatam, and even Bhagavatam, from Bhagavatam then we go to Chaitanya Charitamrita. Bhagavatam begins that Pipita Bhagavata Rasamalayam. Go on, drinking the Bhagavata Rasa, the taste of the nectar of bhakti. Alayam. As long as we live, as long as we're in, or just go on. And the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita gives us some clue as to what is the extent of that nectar with Anarpita Chirin Chirat Karunya Vatirno Kalao Samapiyatum Munatojvala Rasang Swabhakti Shriyam Hari Purta Sundara Duty Kadamba Sandipita Sada Hridaya Kandare Spurutu Vashachinandana. That Rupa Goswami is actually the blessing in the beginning of his Lalita Madhava, I believe, or is it Vidagdha Madhava? May that Sachinandana be situated in the core of your heart. The yogis, they want to see Vishnu in the core of their heart. Those who are the best yogis by meditation. But may that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu be manifested in your heart. He who has descended after a long, long time to to give the topmost resplendent, dazzling feelings of devotion to himself. He's descended in this dark Kali Yuga to do that. So that's a very high platform. And if we think that, well, I immediately want to understand what the gopis' feelings for Krishna, that's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to reveal. Boroja Jubate Bhavera Bhakati Shakati Hoitoka. Who else but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could have revealed the feelings of the gopis? Radha Mahima Prima Rasa Shima Jagate Janatoke. Who else but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could have glorified Srimati Radharani, who's at the very limit of, beyond any humanly imaginable limits? So, realistically, we have to begin at the beginning, understand who we are, where we are at, follow the process of devotional service, go step by step. But at any level, we can be attracted by the pastimes of Krishna, pastimes of Rama, are very suitable for devotees to hear. There's also the feelings of Sita and Rama there. All the feelings. We have the ideal husband-wife relationship. We have the ideal brother-to-brother relationship with Ram and Lakshman, and also Bharat. How he selflessly served Lord Rama in separation. All the ideal king and the ideal citizens. Rama is the ideal son to his father. His ideal behavior to his mother and his stepmother, who had behaved so badly toward him, Kaikeyi. But Rama wouldn't accept any fault on her part. So we can learn from this how there's ideal behavior. But Ram is not just that he's following a rule book of what you should do, but with feeling also. He also, it's clearly with affection that he acts. So the Ram Leela, it's really the story goes through a few twists and turns, like all good stories. The first big twist, well, the first big thing is Ram being taken out of Ayodhya by Vishvamitra. That was a really big thing for Dasharath. But in the context of the whole story, it doesn't seem like so much. Vishvamitra had some good idea to take Ram and Lakshman outside because he knew if they sit in Ayodhya, then what are they going to do? They're supposed to come to free the world of these Rakshasas, but there are no Rakshasas in Ayodhya because Ayodhya is Ayodhya. It means it's unconquerable and no one even bothers trying to conquer it. So he had to take Ram and Lakshman out, and then the first demon that Rama killed was a woman. Interesting. As Krishna also, first of all, killed Putana Rakshasi. So Rama killed Tataka. And he spared the life of Marichi, who later... Maricha, who died at the... later died with an arrow of Ram, but he had some service to do in the meantime in cooking up Ram Leela. So, and then, anyway, Vishvamitra brought Ram and Lakshman to Janakpur, city of Janak Maharaj, and Ram married Sita, and Lakshman also married Urmila, and then Parashuram came and attacked Ram, and the story went on and on. So it all seemed very peaceful, and the first big twist was Ram about to get anointed as the king, when sudden twist and he's banished to the forest. And even then there's back and forward, everyone trying to bring Ram back and not let him go. And there are a few things here and there, but more or less they were living peacefully in the forest. And then Sita getting kidnapped is a big thing. And that's really the real intense drama begins at that point. And from that point on, it's how to find Sita. And then, okay, Sita's, now we know where Sita is. We have to kill Ravana. And then Ravana is killed, and that's it. That's the climax. When he's dead, then the whole point of, the main point coming to this world was to kill Ravana. And there are many other Rakshasas also, but the main point he killed. And there's still more drama. For me, the most, maybe for everyone, the most intense, I think it must be for everyone, the most intense part of the Ramayana is just after Ram is killed and then Sita is given the Agni Pariksha, tested in the fire. That's the worst part. And we can laugh because the worst is the best in transcendental pastimes. And then again, so then they're living happily, and then again Sita gets banished, and it's all so sad, so sad. But it's Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. It's all blissful pastimes of Lord Ram. Well, at least it won't be raining blood. We hear in the Vindhuva Maharaj expecting blood and pus and all kinds of things. So, these are the wonderful pastimes of Lord Ram. They're all over? No. They're going on, they'll go on. Again and again. Ram is eternal. And there are supporters of Ravana, direct and indirect. Not so much. You won't find so much nowadays. That movement was there, was strong in Tamil Nadu at one time, the atheistic movement of this Periyar. And then his big follower in politics was this Karunanidhi in Vellore, in Tamil Nadu. We had our center there in Gandhinagar, which is just outside Vellore. Now it's all joined together in the town. And we were renting a house there. And just opposite to the house, the name of the house owner was there. His name was Ravana. Because people used to ask Karunanidhi to give a name to their child, and he would give names like that. Ravanan, sorry, Tamil should be Ravanan. Anyway, he was a very nice man, and he wasn't atheistic or demoniac. He was very helpful with us. But that influence was there, promoting the Ravanas, and there are still so many Ravanas. As long as this world goes on, there'll be the representatives of Ravana. Dvo bhuto sarge loke smin. What is that? Daiva asura ivacha. In this world there are two kinds of people, the devotees and the demons. Vishnu bhakta smito daiva asuras tad viparyayaha. Those who are devotees of Vishnu, they are godly. And those who are against that, they're ungodly. So there's so many Ravanas. Now this Stephen Hawking died, and it comes in the headlines. Stephen Hawking says there's no God. Oh, really? So we have to accept what he says? Because he says, and he's supposed to be a big scientist, and we're supposed to accept what he says? Actually, the main part of his life work was promoting this Big Bang Theory. But then one of his friends, a colleague who worked with him for years, came out about a year ago and said, actually, he's wrong. His whole Big Bang Theory is wrong. There's no Big Bang. He said that, I don't blame him for giving that theory, because at that time, according to the research we had, it was the best theory. But we've done more research now, and now we know the Big Bang Theory, Big Bang couldn't have happened. So, Stephen Hawking. Stephen Hawking's... God is dead. There's no God, says Stephen Hawking. And God says there's no Stephen Hawking. He's dead. He's dead. So, he's a representative of this. No God. No God. No, 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 no. Well, for that matter, there's no Hodgelopetus, right? You don't believe in Hodgelopetuses, do you? What do you think? You didn't get it. You don't believe in Hodgelopetuses? You don't know that word. A Hodgelopetus is a green-backed fairy that sits under the canopies on the moon. Okay, green-backed fairy that sits under canopies on the moon. There's no such thing. There's no such thing as a Hodgelopetus. No one believes in such a thing, because there is no such thing. So why should people believe, if there's no such thing as God, then why do you have to make such a big propaganda and discuss it for years and years and generation after generation? If there's no such thing, if it's a completely absurd idea, then why do people believe in it? That's a big problem, philosophical problem for the atheists. Like Richard Dawkins came up with the solution, it's something in our gene code that evolution didn't get out of us. People have a religion gene or a God gene, and those less advanced human beings who didn't get this out of their system, they believe in God. But hopefully if we go on, maybe we'll do genetic modification and then no one will believe in God. Of course, they didn't find the gene yet. Fantastic. It's amazing how people, God gave them intelligence and they use it in a way that they want to deny God. Anyway, it's going to rain soon, so we should go inside. Looks like it's going to rain soon. I can't say for sure. You can never tell, but seems like it's going to rain. The signs are there. Yeah, there are plenty of Ravanas, and maybe not monkeys in Rama's army, but just like squirrels, we can do our bit. to combat all the Ravanas. The best way to combat all the Ravanas is to give the light of Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna swadhamo pagate dharma gyana divisa kalo nashta drishame sha purana ko duno dida. Krishna left this world. Rama's gone. Krishna's gone. With them goes dharma. With them goes jnana. And they're all good qualities, but Krishna is here in this Kali Yuga in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. So we, just like the squirrel is pushing sand into the sea, so we can push out Srila Prabhupada's books, Bhagavad Gita as it is, Srimad Bhagavatam, and give the light of real knowledge by which the mini Ravanas of Kali Yuga, there's no use to kill them physically. We're not going to do that, but we can kill their silly ideas and then they can join in the kirtan. Hare Krishna. I'll finish there. We should pack up. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Jai Sri Rama.